Well, what a cruel joke has been played on you, all the people who came to hear Pastor Ross speak, and then I show up here. So, but hey, don't worry. I don't know what it is about this bulletin out there. It says, bring him the glory. We're going to be in Psalms 119 today. There's a couple things I want to go over. Some of y'all caught that. Some of y'all didn't. No, I appreciate Pastor Ross and opening his pulpit and letting me have the opportunity to speak to y'all today and why he's on vacation, and look forward to him coming back. If you are visiting with us today, I am not the pastor. I am one of the pastors. So hopefully you'll come back and hear him, and maybe I won't deter you from coming back. I love you too. But like I said, my name is Chad. I'm the student pastor here for Pepper's Church, and I have the awesome opportunity to share this morning. But I want to share a little bit about myself. Most of y'all may or may not know, I come from a family of women. So when I was born, my mom and dad divorced when I was 3 years old, and they were divorced, and my dad, I was kind of tossed back and forth every now and then just for weekends. But I was raised by my mom, my two older sisters, and my grandmother. Really, she was a big part of my life. And there was a lot of women in my life, you know. My sisters say it makes me a better husband. I don't know about that. I'll have to ask my wife. You'll have to ask her. But anyways, you know, there's a couple things in my life that because of that, my grandfathers were both dead that I remember. And I longed for men in my life. I longed for it. A male model in my life. Someone who would take me under their wing. Someone who would do things. And my mom did a really good job. I used to give her Father's Day cards. My mom did a great job. She bought me a BB gun. That was a mistake. She said all these things. But one of the things I wanted to do, and she agreed with it, is she let me play football. So I brought a picture, my first football picture, up here on the screen. There it is. Double lot. I know it's hard to believe, but I was the running back. See, I was a preemie. How many of y'all preemies are in here? Any preemies in here? Okay, a few. The preemies got to stick together. So I wasn't very big when I was little, all right? I was a preemie, so guess what? I was the fastest kid on the team. I know it doesn't look like it now, but I was the running back. And I played for the Cougars that are in Houston. And I played football from that point all the way to high school. And I played this football for one purpose and one purpose only. I tried to get my father's attention. I tried to earn his favor. I tried to get his approval. You see, as a young man, I tried so hard to get my father to look at me. As growing up in a family of women, I wanted my dad to see me and be a part of my life. And I longed for that. I'm sure that none of y'all in here have done that before, right? I'm sure it's just me. Maybe it was your dad. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a coach in your life. If he just recognized me, if he just he'll see me. Maybe it was a teacher. We will do all kinds of things in our physical lives to get people's approval or to bring honor to someone that we look up to, right? We'll do those things to get their approval to the people that we look up to. Today, I want to pose a question, though. I want to, do we do that in our spiritual lives? Do we do that in our spiritual lives? Are we seeking to bring honor to our Heavenly Father? Do we desire that to approval from, or to bring glory to Him? Maybe you've tried and you feel like, well, I'm just lacking. I'm lacking. Maybe even worse, maybe you've tried and you've lacked and then you have just given up. Well, I got great news for you today, because Jesus. But Jesus. Jesus tells us today, straight from his mouth, how we can bring glory to God and to our Heavenly Father. If you have your Bibles, in John 15, verse 8, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple." So here's Jesus. He is talking, and he's saying, "Hey, I wish I had this for my Father. I wish someone would have told me this is how you get his attention. This is how you bring glory and honor to him." But in our spiritual life, Jesus comes right out and he tells us, "Hey, this is how we bring glory and honor to God." Jesus, he doesn't mess around the bush. He tells us this. But what is it about all this bearing fruit and showing yourself to be Jesus' disciple? Let's look back up in verse 1. If you want, just flip by verse 1 of John chapter 15. But as you're getting there, I want to kind of tell you what's going on. So Jesus came, right? God sent Jesus to be our atonement, to be our sacrifice for us, that he lived a sinless life, and basically he died on the cross for each one of us that we might have a relationship with God the Father. And he's on earth, and he's walking around, and the people are rejecting him. Even the people, the religious leaders that should have seen him for who he was, they still rejected him. And they were rejecting him. And it wasn't going to be long, even his inner circle, his 12, one of them is going to betray him. We know him to be who? Judas. And one of his inner three circle is going to deny him. "I don't know him. I've never had any part of him." Who's that? Peter. And then not shortly after that, after Jesus is captured and crucified, the other disciples scatter and they go. So in the midst of all this going on, Jesus kind of, he thinks about, he recalls the story of in the Old Testament of the vine of God. That God, he described it in the Old Testament. You see, God's people were described sometimes as a vine that God has placed in a desert or a place in the desert. You can look in Psalms 80, verse 8 through 16, or you can look in Isaiah 5, 1 through 7, Jeremiah 2, 21, Ezekiel 15, 1 through 8, Hosea 10, 1. All throughout the Old Testament, there's this description of God's people being a vine, and a lot of times it didn't work out well. They turned away from God, and God removed their hedge of protection, and they got destroyed in a lot of ways. So I allowed it to happen. But here's Jesus, and he is recalling this, and he decides to share with his disciples. He's sitting with his disciples, and he knows all this is going on. And then in verse 1, he says this. So if you have your Bible, we're in John chapter 15, verse 1. He says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the words which I have spoken to you." Verse 4, "Abide in me." Some of y'all may have remain. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Let's pray together. Father, I love you so much. I thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus sharing this with the disciples. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as we study this, Father, will you open our ears, our hearts. Father, I pray today that the walls we have built up around ourselves to protect us, that they would crumble at your word. Father, that we might leave differently than when we came in. And Father, I pray today that it would not be my words that are spoken, but Lord, it would be yours. Father, because I know only your word changes lives, not mine. Father, we ask this and we pray this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. So here's Jesus. He's talking to his disciples and he's sharing all these things about it. But I want to look at a couple things here off the bat. He mentions three things that I want to mention. The first one is in verse 1, he says, hey, the true vine. Hey, Jesus is the true vine. He's the genuine vine. He's not a false or counterfeit vine. He's not like something else, which we will see in the end days. So someone's going to come, and it's going to be a counterfeit of Jesus. In fact, he opposes this. He opposes the counterfeit, the fake, and the pretenders. You know, even he called out the religious leaders when he said, hey, this is not right, right? He called them out. I love John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 9, when he explains, he calls him not a vine, but he calls him this light. See, the deal is this. John says, there was a light which is coming into the world that would lighten every man. See, John the Baptist was a forerunner for Christ. He was the person that came before him. He was preaching. He was telling people to turn and to be baptized. And he's saying, hey, I'm not him. I'm not that one. But guess what? There is a man who's coming, and he is going to change everything. He's going to lighten every man in the world. And then he mentions the vine dresser back there in verse 1 as well. The vine dresser, that would be our God, our Father in heaven. He is the one that carefully planted the vine. How many of y'all in here are gardeners? Not very many, a couple. Yeah, I'm where, how many, let me ask you this. How many of y'all in here have ever tried to plant a garden? Y'all are like me. You plant it once and never did it again. My wife, in her wisdom and knowledge, she decided she was going to plant mint all around our garden. Because mint does one thing, right? It keeps the bugs away. So we ended up with like 12-foot-tall mint. Nothing could stop the mint. Everything else would die, but the mint, I mean, it was on fire for the Lord. It was on fire. But God is the vine dresser. He is the one who planted the vine. He's the one that waters the vine. He's the one that feeds the vine. He's the one that cleans the vine. He's also the one who watches over the vine. But catch this, not just the vine, but the branches. How many of y'all have plants in your house? Have y'all seen those new apps that you can pick up? It's called Leaf Doctor or Plant Talk or something, like a TikTok or whatever. Pull your phone out, you take a picture of your plant, and it tells you it needs water. Or you take a picture of it, and it's like, oh, it needs sunlight. Or, you know, we have these apps now that tell us, praise the Lord, in our physical life. But in our spiritual life, God, he is the vine dresser. He is the one that watches over, feeds, cleans. Our Heavenly Father does that. And thirdly, he mentions these branches. These branches, that would be his disciples he's talking to. Because he knows they're about to desert. He knows that they're about to run away. They're going to deny him. And he's trying to say, hey, listen to me. I am the vine. And you are the branches. And then he mentions this stuff called fruit. Or even bearing this fruit. Jesus mentions fruit 4 times in these verses. He mentions it in differently. He says, it depends on which version you have. It says, there would be no fruit or not bearing fruit in verse 2. And then in verse 2, it says fruit. Verse 2, it comes out, it says more fruit. And if you look in verse 5 and verse 8, he says this, much fruit, mucho fruit. Got to get ready for Honduras. Mucho fruit. He mentions this fruit in our life. And I believe through Scripture we can discern what this fruit is, all right? So So just walk with me through this. So the first thing that bears is converts. And what a convert is a person who comes to Jesus Christ in faith. When you're living a life, people should be coming around you, should be coming in faith to Jesus through your life, your testimony, through everything else. Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul talking, he says, I do not want you to be unashamed, brothers and sisters, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you. And among the rest of the Gentiles. So he's saying, hey, this fruit is looked at as converts in our life, people we come in contact with. So we should have these people around us maybe asking questions through our life. Converts. The second to bear is righteousness. Now that's a really big word, right? Righteousness. All it is free from guilt and sin. If you look in Romans 6, verse 21 and 23, it says, therefore, what benefit were you to deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the glorious gift of God is eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our bodies, I mean, we ought to be producing this righteousness. And guys, can I tell you something? I see a lot of Christians walking around and there's no righteousness being displayed. I think Satan is beating us down. Maybe sharing with us how we have failed. But we are to live victorious in Christ. Our life should display this righteousness. Not our righteousness, not because of us, but because of Him. The third thing to bear is this Christian character. We all know this as the fruit of the Spirit, not a coconut. Right? And I bet we could all sing this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Our lives, we ought to be displaying these fruits in our life. And guys, let me tell you something. The fruit is not for us. We're not to walk around with a big bowl of fruit and say, look at this, look what I've done, or look what's happening, what I'm bearing. This fruit is for other people. I guarantee you see people every day who need to see love, who needs peace in their life, or someone who needs to be patient with, someone who just needs some kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And the one that we all deal with is self-control. We all should be displaying this in our lives. And when we display this in our lives, people are drawn to our Heavenly Father, to our Lord. But just like in our regular life of gardening, like you said, there's a few gardeners in here. Sometimes there's a fall garden and there's a spring garden, right? You plant certain things in the fall, I think it's potatoes, stuff like that in the ground. Spring, you start other things, right? Don't ask me, I did it once and I gave it up. I will tell you this, mint grows all year round. I can testify to that. But there are conditions for being a fruit-bearing life. There's a conditions in your life, and we're going to look at those, all right? The first one is this. It talks about cleaning. Look in verse 2. In verse 2, it mentions pruning. Pruning is a way of cleaning. He says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes it so it may bear much more fruit. This pruning in your life, you know, is a way of cleaning. There's sometimes useless buds that grow, right? Sometimes you clip those off because you want the nutrition to go to the one that's already has a fruit on it. There's miscolored leaves. We'll prune those off because they're not actually getting photosynthesis. Look at that. I remember that stuff from science. My science teacher would be proud. You have different things going on, discolored leaves, misdirected shoots. How many of y'all have ever grown tomatoes? Now, I was successful with pot tomato. Tomatoes, they had the vine comes up, and then they had the branch that shoots off, and again, guess what happens? Right in the middle, a misdirected vine. It doesn't produce anything. You got to clip that off, otherwise it's going to go in front of the branch that actually is producing, and it steals the light and the water and everything else. You have to clip that back. But to be honest with you guys, I want you to think about this. We as believers have areas in our life that need to be cleaned up as well, right? Our thoughts. We need to have those things cleaned up, pruned back. Our attitudes. Our commitments. Guys, we live in a world today in America that we are so overly committed. We have everything lined out. We try to make it all work. And sometimes, some of the things that are most important in our spiritual life fall to the wayside. And we wonder later on down the line, what happened? Our commitments. Some of our commitments may need to be pruned. We need to focus on what really matters in life. Bringing glory and honor to our God, our Heavenly Father. We need to have our behaviors, our relationships, right? Y'all know those people in your life that you try to prune off, but they keep coming back. But there's other things in our life. We have relationships we need to, there might be need to have some pruning going on. And the fact of the matter is we should welcome this pruning in our life. Now, I know it looks painful, right? I got the snipping and stuff like that. I know it looks painful. But the whole purpose of pruning, it's not to hurt the branch. It is that we might produce much fruit. That's the whole purpose. It's that we produce more fruit, that we produce not just more, but much. So you have the cleaning there, but also cleaning by this. Look in verse 3. Verse 3, it says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. You know, Jesus' word. The word of God refines us. The word of God, it cleans things in our life. You know, when a man or a woman comes to God humbly with an open heart, the word of God shows us where we have failed and how we have failed. It shows us what we are doing and what we're not doing. It shows us how to live. It shows us, you know, our sin. It confronts us with our sin. Not to make us feel bad or guilty. Hopefully that we would turn from our sin and turn to Him. John 17:17 says this, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. Amen. God's word is truth. And when we allow God's word to flow over us and we're in it, we're being sanctified that we might live righteous lives out in front of other people. But there's something very important. If we want to have a condition for fruit-bearing life, look in verse 5, or verse 4, or verse all the rest of them. Y'all know where I'm going with this, right? Abide. He says abide. Some of y'all may have the translation to remain in. But we are called to abide in Christ. This is so important that Jesus repeats it. Not once, not twice. No, 7 times he repeats the word abide in these 4 verses. I don't know about y'all, but I remember my mom used to repeat something. If it got past 2, I was in big trouble. There was back in my day, they had those thin belts. Y'all remember those? Those things hurt. But we are called to abide 7 times. So what is abiding? Abiding is this. It is to remain. It is to dwell. It is to continue. It is to stay. It is to rest in or upon. It is being set. It's being fixed and remaining there. Did y'all hear me? It's being set. It's being fixed and remaining there. So why do we abide in Jesus? Because Jesus is our, he nourishes us. He is our nourishment. The closer we are to the vine, the more fruit that is produced. The closer we are to the vine, the more fruit is produced. I can't tell y'all how many times I've heard people say this, and maybe you have too, and maybe you've even said this. I've heard people say this. Chad, I just don't feel close to God anymore. I just don't feel close to him anymore. Or maybe you may have heard this or said this yourself too. I feel like God has left me. Has he left? Or have you? We are to abide. We are to be attached to him. The word of God is another thing we're to abide in. The second thing. The word of God is to abide in us. Verse 7. Verse 7 says this. It says, where is it at? I lost it. I found it. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. His word changes life. Guys, I'm telling you right now, the word of God changes lives. How quickly we forget. For me, I was a young junior high student. I went to a spring retreat my grandma sent me to. She would send me to any retreat I wanted to go on, God camp, whatever it was. I went to a spring retreat. I don't remember the pastor's name, but he was speaking, and he said this scripture, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. It was at that moment Holy Spirit brought conviction in my life. And God knocked on my heart and said, Chad, that's you. You sinned against me. And I became broken over that. That's when I realized my sin was separating me from God. And I remember that night I had to confess my sins to the Lord, and I gave my heart to Jesus. How quickly we forget how our lives were changed by the word of God. We'll look for everything else in our lives, but we won't look to the word. God's word changes lives. It says we need to abide in God's word daily. Why? Because it nourishes our soul. It nourishes our soul. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not just a Sunday and a Wednesday thing. You know, we are lucky to live in a country and we have a religion or a relationship with Jesus where we can come and worship God. There's places all around the world that they can't worship God. They may go to their synagogue or they may go to whatever it is they're going to, and they may go in there and they listen to a man tell them what the Word of God says. But we have God's Word ourselves. We can spend time in God's word anytime we want. And if you're dyslexic like me, it'll read it to you. We can spend time in God's word every day. We have no excuse to allow his word to abide in us. These are great inventions, aren't they? Come on. Yes? No? It depends on if you let it control your life or you control it. Now, when y'all call me, when I'm home, sometimes it may be in the closet or it may be away from me. I don't answer all the time. I control my phone. I don't let my phone control me. But how many of y'all remember these? How many of y'all remember these? Okay. If you students in here, if you don't know what this is, it's a rotary phone. I actually went to dial my own personal number. I think it took me like 5 minutes because I have several nines, and it takes forever to go back. You gotta have patience for this. I remember so well my grandmother's house. And in my grandmother's house, there was this long hallway, and the kitchen and the den, and there were the bathrooms in between, and there were two bedrooms in the back, right? But in the long hallway, there was a cutout in the hallway, and the phone set right there. Y'all remember those? Some of y'all shaking your head, yes. And inside that thing, there was a little pad that you could pull the thing down, and you could find like M, V, you know, alphabet, and you push a button, and it'd pop up, and it'd have everybody's numbers right there. That was how you called people. Oh, there's Uncle Hester, there's, you know what I'm saying? You would call people. But it was in the middle of the hallway, and I remember at my grandmother's house, my friend Richie, he called me. He called my grandmother's house, and the phone rang. And how many of y'all remember, like, party lines? All right? Bring. Oh, no, that's a Sykes number. Bring. Oh, no, that's someone else's number. Bring. Oh, that's it. Mom would pick up the phone. Hello? And they'd be like, is Chad there? Yes. Hold on. Hey, Chad, what comes next? Who is it? Who is it? And you'd come to the phone, and you'd come there, and you would talk, you'd be on the phone. And the thing about it was when you were on the phone back in those days, one phone in the house, by the way, one. I think we ought to go back to that. Most of y'all, probably like us, you don't even have a house phone anymore, right? Yeah, one phone in the house, in the hallway, and you talked, and you were right here. No plus chair, nothing to go. You were connected. If you wanted to talk on the phone, there was nowhere to go until they invented the long cable where you go to the kitchen, around the corner, in the bathroom, right? But if you wanted to talk and you wanted to have a conversation, you were here. You were fixed. There was nothing that was going to move you. This is abiding. I can't abide over there if I'm on the phone. When you're abiding in Jesus, you're fixed. You're unmovable. And then we allow the Word of God to wash over our lives as He speaks into our lives, as He speaks to us, as He tells us. And we have to abide in His Word and let His Word abide into our lives. If you wanted to have a conversation, you had to be near the source. If you're going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you got to be plugged into the vine. There's none of this unplugging and plugging, unplugging and plugging. You have to be connected to the vine to have the conversation from to speak to you. I want to try something a little different today. This may be odd for y'all, but that's okay, because when the cat's away, Ross, the mice will play, right? I have put together this scripture, and I want to take, let me take a little liberties, so I'm going to find out how quick y'all are. So in this scripture, I have placed some blanks, and on the blanks, I want you to put your name in there, all right? We're going to read it together. I think this is going to make the scripture way more personal. I want you to hear you say your name as you read this. As we read it together, we read it together slow. Let's pray. Let's not pray. Let's read. Let's read God's word. Abide in Jesus and Jesus in Chad. As Chad cannot bear fruit for himself or unless he abides in Jesus. I forgot to tell y'all there was some gender things there. Y'all have to choose the gender that God made you. All right? So, Jesus is the vine, and I am the branch. If I abide in Jesus and Jesus in me, I bear much fruit. For apart from Jesus, Chad can do nothing. If I do abide in Jesus, I am thrown away as a branch and dry up. And they gather me up, and they cast me into the fire, and I am burnt. If Chad abides in Jesus, and his word abides in Chad, he may ask whatever he wants, wishes, and it will be done for Chad. My Father is glorified by this, that Chad bears much fruit and so proves to be Jesus' disciples. Are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Are you allowing His word to abide in your life? Are there some areas that you need to prune out or you have let God prune out of your life? He's the vine dresser. It's not our job to produce the fruit. It's God's working through us. He produces the fruit through us. That's why it says when the branch is thrown out, it can do nothing. Without connected to the source, we can do nothing. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. And Father, I ask today, as we finish this service, as we close this service in song, Father, that we would listen to you move. Father, that some of us may need to have some things removed in our life. Some of us may not be abiding in God's word except on a Sunday and a Wednesday kind of thing. Father, allow us to see the closer we are to you, the more fruit we bear, the more people we may reach for your kingdom. Father, we ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. We're going to have a time of closing. And I just want to say, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, Troy, Alex, and I will be down here at the front. We would love to talk to you, walk you through what it means to be a believer, to be a disciple, to trust, to put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We can talk more about how you can abide in the Lord. Or maybe you just need to pray. Somehow or another, we have forgotten this is an altar up here. This altar is always open. We have kind of moved away from that in some ways. My prayer is this. Whatever it is God is speaking to you in your heart and your life, that you be obedient. Be obedient to his call. And that you would abide whatever he wants you to do.